Welcome to Lovepreneurs. This show is all about using business and entrepreneurial concepts to tackle problems of the heart. Hosted by two budding entrepreneurs, the Lovepreneurs podcast aims to entertain and educate its listeners on both business matters and matters of the heart. Because in love and business, hope is never a strategy.
Hey guys, we are back. We're still on lockdown. Hey Marcus, how are you doing?
Hey Max, we're doing fine. I'm so happy we're back on this third pandemic episode. I'm actually surprised we're doing a third one.
We're really, really lonely,
aren't we?
I know, exactly. I think that's...
I'm just waiting to do this. Like after the one with Abetina, I just said, let's do this again because I got nothing to do at home.
You know what? I'm starting to feel lonely, to be honest. I've been isolated for 2 months now and I'm really longing for a hug. Maybe you can... I think I'm going to hug you really tight when I see you. I can feel it.
Yeah.
Walang mali siya.
No, absolutely. I really miss you. I miss you. I miss hanging out with you at the podcast recording studio Ortigas area.
I miss our drinks in Elks Club. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But anyway, I think hopefully this is the last or second to the last podcast pandemic episode of our podcast, because it seems like the world is starting to move into the post quarantine
that
period,
is true
right
that
and,
is true
hopefully we sort it out, and May 15th or the day after will be the last
for
this quarantine period.
After two extensions to this lockdown, obviously, a lot of businesses are craving to operate again. People need to make a living. People are getting frustrated at home. After being stuck for 2 months. So I do hope that there are no more extension post May 15.
Yeah, that's true. And that's actually a very good point that you're bringing out right now. This whole period of the pandemic lockdown period actually affects a lot of people, right? About how they feel, about they makes them think about their jobs and whether this is the career that they want to do. So there's a lot of uncertainty, and it really causes a lot of stress for most people, but some other people actually find a purpose in it. And we're so lucky to have our next guest here, who is actually an HR specialist.
Oh, I'm excited. Do you want to introduce our very good guest? Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd love to introduce her. Our current guest today is Bettina Chongbian. She is an HR expert with almost 20 years of experience in HR business partnering for operations and employer branding, as well as talent management.
Yo.
And this 20 years of her experience is actually split between being a business owner or a business partner and also being a corporate executive. So as a managing partner of a business, she actually worked in the HR department of West Bay College, which is a school that specializes in maritime education. So yung mga graduates nila, pumunta sa cruise ships, cargo ships, bulk and cargo tankers, right? And then she also has a very productive career in the BPO industry as a corporate executive. And her specialty was also in HR, mainly employer relations and business partnering. So what that means is basically she allow the HR function to serve as a partner to all of the other organization or departments of the BPO
client,
and then, but mainly operations, right? So So I would like, with no further delays, I'd like to introduce Bettina Chongbian and welcome her to
All
the
right.
show. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hi, Bets. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Marcus. Hi, Mags. Thanks for welcoming me.
We are very happy for that you are joining us today.
We are very happy.
Because we're very lonely. We're very lonely men.
Yes. And you are our fourth female guest.
Exactly.
And this is our, is our fifth or sixth? Is this our fifth or sixth episode?
Episode, yeah. This is our sixth.
Yeah, so.
We are now half a season, my friend.
Right. And we have more female guests than male. Our producers must be happy.
Oh, they should be happy. Well, personally, I am happy. I'm happy that that's the case.
That's good to hear. So is that going to be a trend to have more female guests in the future?
We're all about women empowerment here.
Yes.
As lovers.
I think Carla set the tone, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. For our listeners, for the benefit of our listeners, Carla was our first guest here. Lovepreneur.
Yeah.
And she talked about branding and identity consulting. So, Bettina, you actually gave us, Mags and I, a preview of what you intend to talk about. And you came up with this fascinating framework that you consider to be essential in analyzing and dealing with any kind of HR program. And also, what Mags and I realized is minimum application ito sa love life, no? So, please, Bettina, could you please share with our listeners this framework that you've vividly described to Mags and I a couple of days ago?
Well, okay. So, let me begin with a background that where I come from, and it's because I'm an HR business partner most of my life in the HR field. I've been an HR business partner. Our major concern was to get the commitment of people who work for the organization. And we had to make sure that we could engage all of them and perform better. And at the same time, make sure that the people working with the organization are happily satisfied with what they're getting in exchange for the effort that they've put in. So let me begin with commitment. Based on different studies and literature, commitment has been defined as how an individual promises to an organization or to the tasks that he has at hand and commits to perform what is needed for the organization to succeed. So these are related to her personal or his personal characteristic, okay, the characteristics needed by the job, and also what the organization does. So that is actually the reason why people get into work or find a specific type of work. So it always begins with the contract of employment, which is an initial or the very first proof that we've gotten a commitment from an employee. Okay? So from an HR perspective, however, it goes back and boils down to history of what it was like during the first industrial revolution when we first began with the production line, moving on to the second industrial revolution where these things were mechanized. So there was a different need for different skill sets. And then moving forward to the third industrial revolution, these things were automated, digitization came in, and now currently we're at what we call the fourth industrial revolution, wherein digitization has already evolved into something else. You know, the lines are blurry when it comes to time. Everything is global. Everything is real time. Sometimes people or individuals are not even necessary in certain processes, but different skill sets are now required to make sure that things happen according to what the customers need. So the fourth industrial revolution has brought about a lot of changes, and it is a challenge for us HR practitioners to make sure that we get the right people to commit. Okay? So we need to do the searching, we need to do the selecting process, and we need to identify what needs to be done for us to get the right people into the company. So HR practitioners, in essence, as business people as well, are concerned primarily with specific processes and infrastructures, not only people. Because to get the right people, you have to have those structures in place. You have to make the designs and everything. So that, like I said, what our challenge is getting the right people to commit to the company. Okay, so it depends on the company that you're working for. So first, organizations work to define who they are and the type of employees that they need to get the job done or to get their goals met, and also for them to be able to attain the objectives that they've set out to do for an entire year or for a period or to implement a specific strategy. So they do this by attracting different talents through several means. One of them is through advertising. So you see the job postings for people or positions that have a list of skill sets that are required for the job. Secondly, they also create, HR people create specific compensation packages for different job grades and job levels, depending on the need of the organization and depending on the capacity of the organization to give that. Okay, then incentive programs as well to attract the right people. Benefit programs or benefits programs are given and designed as well. And also they create a specific culture for the organization that they've set. Some cultures are happy-go-lucky cultures. Others are very rigid and stringent. They have specific protocols to follow. But then the culture defines how things are done in the workplace. So these types of advertising or creations and programs are put forth and advertised so that people can see what it is that they're going to commit themselves to in the workplace. And right. Then, yeah, so this is where the selection process begins.
Very interesting. Yeah. I'm wondering, Bets. So the first part of the structure that you mentioned is commitment, especially when looking for people. In the current situation that we have today, wherein there was a pandemic, as you may know, a number of businesses during the period could not make or generate any revenue, which means they had to furlough, they had to let go of some of the employees that they could not retain. And now that we're about to open up again, I assume these businesses would want to get back some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, na somehow, kumbaga, para tong ano eh, kumbaga in relationships, parang nag-cool off, diba? Nag-cool off ako tsaka yung girlfriend ko. Kasi parang we're trying to get through a difficult stage of our relationship. Now na okay na kami, we want to get back together again. How, in this scenario wherein there was a dent in the relationship, how do you keep your employees committed to your business once you resume operations?
Okay, so I think defining furlough furthermore would mean that when people are on furlough, they can still be connected to the organization in the understanding that certain prior commitments when they sign the contract cannot happen, like their schedules are changed, so there's not enough work to do, therefore they have to have time off from work, just like you mentioned, time off from a relationship. Therefore, time off from work means no work, no pay for some, if that's the scenario. And others would also mean, like, for particularly for those in the management or middle management level, if they are put on furlough, they go on a leave of absence with the understanding that when operations can allow them to come back, then they have the first chance to be put in production again to support the group. So to bring them back in requires another documentation that they are asked to return to work and that an official start date for the new line of work comes in after the ECQ or this pandemic issue. Okay, so they have to agree to it again.
Well,
so
actually, again. Yeah, that's Yeah, that's wonderful feedback. I'm actually have a slightly different question with regards to this concept of commitment that you just brought up. To me, what you're saying seems to be commitment is trying to come up with that two-way relationship where both employer and employee wants to maintain the relationship despite the bump in the road that we're encountering right now, which is the pandemic. And, there's always the contract that employers and employee write, but there's also a lot of things that happen outside the contract during the course of the employment period that happens. So specifically right now, how the employer treats their employee and vice versa during this period could have lasting effect on how both sides continue their relationship post-COVID, or when at least the new normal sets in. I would like to know if you could give us your insights on how, let's say, the industry here, most employers here, approach these kinds of situations. It doesn't have to apply now in the COVID era because it's still happening. So hindi pa rin natin alam yung results niyan. But you and I have been around for a while right now. We both each have over 20 years experience, and we've seen these cycles go through our career. Is there something you would like to share to us about how commitment can be enhanced or probably could be weakened in such periods, such as the COVID crisis that we are experiencing right now?
Okay, I liken the situation of the COVID issue to a company losing a customer or a contract as a subcontractor, right? So
right.
When they lose the contract, there's no more volume of work to be done at the subcontracted place, or at the outsourced area. But as an employer, HR practitioners are encouraged to find ways and means to divert the workforce to a different department or to have them do something else. So I think true to this time at present is that some of the production lines in the manufacturing industry, I cannot speak for the BPO, but for the manufacturing industry, right, they have diverted the manpower to produce other materials. So they still try to keep them where they're at because they're the ones familiar with the skill sets of, they have the skill sets of running particular machines. It's just that they had to improvise and innovate the product that they were producing. Now, that is typically an operational decision, and it goes hand in hand with HR in essence that in a sense that they have to plan this out and see which types of people have to be maintained in the organization, which ones have to go on furlough because at present they may not be necessary but may be needed in the long run. And also this is where HR comes in, and also they have to define together with operations, which positions will not be needed in the near future, because it will not be fair also for the organization to keep maintaining the individuals. But they can probably give them a heads up that when the time comes that there will be a rehiring process, you will be contacted. So these are things that are put in place in different organizations. In terms of trying to keep the relationship with the people that are working for them.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. Max, please go ahead.
I was just about to say that it's good that certain organizations have this kind of process to make sure that they could sustain the relationship and the employees even during a difficult time. And I guess that's the beauty of having your HR program in place for your company. Now, this crisis that we're encountering didn't just hit us on a business or economic level. It also hit a lot of people on a personal level. And so I want to bring the discussion and gear it towards from a personal relationship side to a personal relationship side. Because even in a personal, when we talk about relationships, you being with a partner, life partner, being with your wife, your husband, that also entails commitment. But the difference is there's no HR manager to help you fix things when times are difficult. You're like left with each other and hoping that you can solve it yourselves. Right? You consult your friends, etc. And this crisis actually affected a lot of couples. Huh? There was recent articles saying couples have been like planning a divorce overseas after the lockdown because they couldn't take their partners.
Oh my.
Yeah. So, Bets, maybe you can help us.
Yeah, go ahead, Max.
In a time like this, what do you think are the challenges that these couples are going through? Because they get to learn more about each other during this period. Imagine being stuck for 2 months with each other, di ba? How can couples stay committed? Or do you have also a framework? Can certain HR programs be applied to your personal relationship to keep the commitment and the love alive in a time like this?
Yes, I think that goes down to
the second. That's a wonderful question, Max.
Thank you very much.
It goes down to the second term that I mentioned earlier, the term of engagement.
Yeah.
Talk about employee engagement. So when you engage an employee, that means that the person is not just committed to do the work. It's not just a documentation that they are doing their work. They're actually participating. So in a relationship setting, it has to be participatory. So they don't just know that they're part of it, but they're actually doing something about it. So in an organizational framework, there would be different areas that you would take into consideration to know that an employee is engaged with the line of work that he's doing. And we, from HR, we create a framework to identify this. We get the framework through surveys. We identify it. For organization, the framework may differ a little bit, slightly, right? So there is something in the middle of the framework which says motivation. Motivation is key for the person to want to engage into something. So we have to find it as HR people. We have to determine what motivates the employee to stay, to be further engaged with the organization. There are several factors that affect the motivation of an employee. I'll probably discuss a few of them now. Yeah, so let's talk about job security and compensation. So I think that's a given that in any organization, when we do a survey, they always say that the compensation is not enough or they're not very secure about the job that they have. So when people get that sense of insecurity and they're not being compensated equally, then they have the tendency to disengage from the line of work that they do. Okay? So if that is the issue, what an HR person would probably do is to revisit the compensation package, review it, review the rules of engagement, so to speak, and say, I'm paying you for this type of work. So revisit everything. Is it something that's still workable for the employee? Is it still something that's workable within the organizational structure? Is it within the market value of the line of work that they're doing? And at the same time, they revisit also the career path of the individual concerned, since their security at their place of work is not there. They're not so sure if they are going to get promoted, if there will be some form of improvement in their relationship with their organization, then they have to know, they have to have a view of what their goal is in terms of their career. So that is where HR comes in. They present the career path, they present the career opportunities that they have within the organization, just like in a relationship. I think a discussion similar to that.
Yeah. So dapat pala binibigyan ko ng career path mga girlfriends ko, no? Kasi walang nagsistay. Marcos, walang nagsistay.
I have Bettina's explanation of engagement is actually something that brought a lot of memories of my own failed marriage.
I have marriages of friends that I've known.
Okay.
Let's do an
online survey. Okay.
Okay.
You know, Mags asked me, sino bang HR officer sa pamilya?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You have a married couple who I actually realized after Bettina sex, I actually realized who they are.
Sige
nga. They are the in-laws. Oh, diba? So, diba? You have a wife and a husband not getting along, nag-aaway, and whom does the wife call or whom does the husband call? They call their parents, right? And you know, most of the time, you know, the mom on either side, you know, the mother-in-law will jump in and say, "Iho, iha, ano ba nangyayari?" So, alam mo, I understand what you're going through. Let's go through your compensation package.
Yeah.
Do you get enough love? Ano ba? Are you not getting nasasabihin ni ano ni wife? Ay, mommy, hindi ako binibigyan ng love. Kulang ang compensation ko.
Kulang.
That's so cool. Diba? And then they go, "I'm not appreciated. Hindi na ako dinadala sa ano date, 'di ba? Meron pa lang info." So now I realize there is actually an informal HR function in marriages, 'di ba?
The problem with that, Marcos, is usually the in-laws would be a bit biased. At least an HR manager knows how to position properly their comments, di ba? No biases.
Wait, okay. An HR person represents management.
HR person represents
management all the time. So
there you go.
Speak in behalf of management.
Okay. So parang in-laws nga.
Okay.
That's a good analogy.
Okay, no, management dito, usually the parents, because they hold all the assets and the cards.
Absolutely. Oh my. Nako, Marcos.
So, you know, it's like, isn't this insightful, this whole HR thing? I mean, I just realized. I mean, and then you say, Mom, stop it. Don't be an HR representative, okay? You are biased. You do not represent management because, see, you're on, you know, my wife's side.
So you're saying that management in your relationship is the wife, Marcos. And you're the employee.
Oh, yun pa, diba? And diba? Diba, there's so, always this talk about
nahahalata kung sino
bang CEO. Diba? Sino ba ang CEO? Sino ba ang presidente sa platform, di ba?
Usually,
most of the guys that I talk to, they go, "The CEO is the wife."
Yeah.
Board of director or president, no, si husband. Kasi si wife always hands-on, always involved.
Baka nga sergeant at arms ka lang, Marcos, di ba? Oh, hindi mo na yung plato. Oh, magwalis ka.
Okay, dehado.
sorry, Bets. We got carried.
Yeah. Oh
my God. When we talk about commitment.
But I have another example that can bring to light another issue that can happen in the workplace.
For example,
which is normal, okay. Siya, no? It's
go
normal
ahead.
Even in the love relationship. Some people in the workplace find that they don't belong to their group. So there's no sense of belongingness, right? So even if, you know, at these times, they feel detached from their teams. They feel like they're not part of a bigger organization. So they don't find that sense of affiliation with the rest of the group.
That's
the role of the HR team and at the same time the management team would be to create programs for them to fit in better. So for them to fit in better, team building activities can happen. It's created, it's budgeted, and also in some organizations, they even go over and beyond the basic activities of rewards and recognition in the workplace. They create groups of common interest within the organization and allow their employees to get together so that their employees can relate to someone else within the organization. So it's the sense of belonging improves if the organization structures things like this. So right. In the light of a relationship, I think it works the same way, right, Mags?
So parang vacation, di ba? Dapat may vacation, merong weekend fun activities like bowling, you have to go on a date, di ba? Parang ganon. I don't know what Marcus does on a date, but...
Yeah, and I think maybe you create more activities together. Siguro you go out not only on vacations, like you have a regular Sunday dinner with the family or a night out.
Okay, Bets, I'm going to put you on the spot. You were also on lockdown during this period. And so can you share with us an expert advice and an actual application? How did you spice things up during the lockdown? Sige nga, sige.
Ganon. Spice things up.
Oh, yun. That's a great question.
Workplace na, workplace, ha?
Oh, sige. Workplace.
No. Really, you know, what we're having right now, being in touch despite the distance and the time that you can't spend together, then you go on a call and talk to the people that you love, right? Or in the workplace, the people that you work with. That's so you right. Still keep in touch, try to keep it regular, and I hope that spice things up enough.
So communication talaga is very important.
Yes, communication is key.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, there are other things that people can do. Basically, what we need to know if you are trying to engage people to commit further in the organizational setting is to make sure that what you're doing as an organization satisfies the employees such that they are more productive. Okay? So, if we talk kasi of employee engagement, it's not equivalent to employee satisfaction. Sometimes people who are highly engaged are also not always satisfied. Because satisfied merely measures how happy they feel and if they like what they're doing. When you talk about engagement, it goes deeper into their understanding of having to do things despite the difficulties, and yet they are still committing to it because they understand what their role is in the organization. So that's the difference between employee engagement and satisfaction. However, we try not to do away with the satisfaction part. Okay? So we try to find ways and means to make sure that people are satisfied with the things that we give them in a workplace setting.
That's right. Okay? Interesting.
I'd just like to add for our listeners that we've actually, Bets has actually brought up the third part of her HR framework here, right? Bets, it's commitment, engagement, and satisfaction. Is that correct?
Correct.
So that's,
yes, that's correct. Okay.
So that's the full framework.
Okay, great.
Max, I gotta ask you.
What's that, Bets?
Yeah. I have a question
something.
For Mags.
Okay, shoot.
Okay, go ahead, Bets. Go ahead. Shoot. All right, let me ask the question to Mags. Mags?
Okay.
Mags, are you
hard,
satisfied?
With what?
How satisfied are you during the lockdown?
Let's just say that I am longing for satisfaction after the lockdown.
Oh, yo.
I am longing for I'm longing for someone who can commit to me, engage me, and satisfy.
And satisfy you. Oh, yo.
My appetite. Because, you know, I want to try new food. I'm sick of my cooking. So, satisfy my appetite. Yeah.
I think you can do really well with these three keywords when you're, you know, romancing a woman.
I know. You know what? This is the perfect framework for lovepreneurs. This is it.
I think,
I'm going to call this. This is the Bettina, I'll call this the Bettina framework of love.
Wow. No, it's named after me.
Yeah.
I'll call it the Bettina framework. If you want to find the right lover, or if you want to be a good lover, you have to commit, you have to engage, and you have to satisfy.
Okay. I got it. Let's role play, Mags. I'm the girl.
Yes.
And you're the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, you just brought me to this really nice, quaint boutique restaurant. Right?
Okay.
And So here I am, Mags. I'm looking really nice, you know, with my, you know, really tight dress, showing a lot of skin. I go, Mags.
Okay.
What kind of relationship are you looking for, baby?
Babe, I'm looking for a firm commitment. I look at properly engaging each other.
Really?
Learning more about you and you learning more about me. And I promise you, you shall be satisfied.
Ayun. Bill, it's time to go.
That's it. This show is over. This show is over. That's it. That's the framework.
Okay, I'm done. You know, date is over. We're going to the next level.
I'm going
to the hotel somewhere right now.
Sorry, Bets. We're getting carried away. Sorry.
Okay. It's okay. Let's go back to the framework that we've got here. But Bets, I think we're testing it. I think it's
working.
Got some lovepreneur stamp of approval.
It does. Works.
It's a go.
It's a go.
Okay. So going back to the framework, since we were talking about satisfaction, right?
Yes.
So satisfaction can actually be measured by designing the questions that you have when you create the survey in determining how people feel about the specific aspect of what's being managed or how management is running things. So let's go back to the topic on sense of belonging. When you're trying to gauge the sense of belonging of an individual in an organization, you don't just ask questions like, are you happy?
Right.
Does this program make you happy? So it's not enough that you ask that, but it's important for an HR practitioner or a manager to integrate it into what the organization is actually trying to achieve. So instead of saying or asking if you're happy, assuming that the survey is on a Likert scale, then you can probably pose a question in a way into something like this. I'm happy about the current special interest groups made available to employees where I am allowed to grow and develop. So they are aware that they are being given the opportunity to develop in the workplace and they're happy about it. So if the goal of the organization is clearly stated in the question and the people are satisfied about the program and that they understand it in that manner, then the satisfaction is something that works for the benefit of the entire group, not just the individual. So it's always good to take a look at things from a perspective of not just what the employee wants when it comes to satisfaction, because at the end of the day, when you talk about satisfaction and engagement, you cannot separate the individual from the other things that are connected to him. You have to take a look at the individual from a holistic perspective. So what you need to consider when you create a satisfaction survey or an engagement survey is that you take a look at the individual's current skills and aspirations. So what are they interested in? What do they want? And you have to be able to identify what motivates them based on their individual values and align those values to corporate values. So if it were a relationship, you and your partner should have the same value system. Otherwise, you would conflict, right?
Very interesting you mentioned that, because that was the key message in our last episode. Like working a relationship is all about having the same value system. Although, yes, I have a question about that. Because sometimes, diba, you won't really know a person until he or she is inside your organization.
True.
And during that period, there seems to be a sense na, oh my, our company culture, our corporate values really does not apply to this person. We made a mistake. So in that scenario, do you still try and you still try to make that relationship work? Or when do you know when it's time to let go? Kumbaga.
Wow. Time to let go. So there actually, wow, if there's transparency,
yeah.
If there's transparency in the workplace, from the onset, during the orientation program of the HR department or the operations team, you would have been able to communicate the sets of values that are important to the company. And with a proper monitoring of through a performance management system of how individuals are working in the workplace, constant feedback should be given. Okay? So if constant feedback has been given to the individual that he or she has not aligned himself to the values, the goals, and the targets of the organization, then it is the best time to do the letting go.
Oh my.
So because there's no alignment, both the organization will not be happy about the person's performance, and the person will also not will never be satisfied with the what the organization has to offer. So from an employer-employee perspective, I think provided that feedback has been given and a discussion has been made, it would be safe to say that letting go should happen at that point.
Yung. Wow. What can you say about that, Marcus? That was very...
So applicable to your own personal life.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Constant feedback, you know, constant feedback, constant communication. It's like, you know, a girl's going to tell the guy, it's like, ang bilis mo naman.
Right.
Sobrang mo naman bilis. Can't you take your time, di ba?
Yeah, exactly. That should be a signal to
ang love life namin, ang boring naman.
Yep.
Ano? Okay. Let's put some spice into it, diba? So, yeah. I'm not saying I got that. You know, it's like, I totally don't get that. Absolutely not.
My interpretation.
Communication is key.
And my interpretation from Bets, sabi niya kasi, dapat dun pa lang sa interview, diba, makuha mo na yung, by asking the right questions, you'll know if this person has the potential, di ba, to be part
diba,
of your
pag naliligaw,
world.
Right. Ganun naman.
So, our advice, my advice to all the lovers out there, di ba, first date pa lang. Mm-hmm. First date pa lang. Ask the right questions. Make sure your survey is properly catered in understanding the person you are interviewing.
Right, because we've been listening, by the way, Bets. It starts with commitment, and in commitment, you have to make sure you have the right candidate, diba? Before
putting
you let
the right
through the door
the
or
right.
her through the door.
Yeah,
right. We learned that from
Audrey,
our friend
Audrey,
right?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but all the lessons are like
it's coming together.
It's coming together.
Yeah. And then, syempre, once you establish sort of a contract, para sa akin, yung contract, it's like pinasagot mo na eh. Diba?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, may contract na tayo. Shoshota na kita. Diba? O jowa na kita.
Pero,
it's a contract.
That's in the HR's perspective.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just about to say, Marcus, apparently, when you sign the contract, same thing in a relationship. It's just phase one. Because if you want to maintain that relationship, you have to engage and satisfy. So, hindi porke nagkapirmahan na. Yeah. Parang kasal, di ba? Hindi porke nagkapirmahan na ng certificate of marriage. The work stops. No. Mm-hmm. It's a lifelong activity. You have to engage and you have to satisfy.
That's right. That's right. From a commitment perspective, like Marcos was saying earlier, you have to determine as an organization or as an individual in the love scenario. In the love scenario, you already know what you want. You have to know what you want in life already. So the organization should know what the type of person that they want to hire for the job, right?
So the advice to employees, never enter an organization who does not know itself and its values. Diba?
Correct.
Same thing with the relationship.
Absolutely. No,
never enter a relationship with a person who's unsure of himself, who has no or does not know his identity, who has no self-love. Diba, Marcos?
Ayun. Ayun. That's Carla Cabrera.
For Carla. Diba?
Learning that we had. First episode, Bets, from Carla. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just this. Bets, give us a grading system. Is Marcos and Mags learning your framework, picking it up quite well?
I think you captured it right away from the onset.
Since you are in the school, right? HR school.
You captured the theory right away onset.
There
I
you
just
go.
Need to assess how you're going to be doing with the love side of it.
Yeah.
Eventually. Time will tell.
There you go.
Oh, time will tell, exactly.
Oh my God.
I also find it fascinating, Bets, that this framework seems to be have a cascading relationship. Is that what do we mean by that? You're saying that the following elements of the framework, from commitment to engagement to satisfaction, there seems to be a cause and effect relationship among these.
Yes, and it's actually
a cycle.
Is that how you
would do it?
No, it's actually a cycle, Marcos.
Because the commitment part
needs to be revisited on a regular basis. Every time a person goes through a performance review. So when a performance review happens from an HR perspective, it's revisiting whether the person is still engaged. Right. And the person is no longer engaged. Mm-hmm. Is there a question on commitment? So we have to dig deeper into the causes of why there's disengagement, why the commitment is not pushing through, and how do we satisfy both the organization and the individual concerned. So it is a cycle. It's a way of retaining people in the workplace setting.
Very interesting.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
It's how to keep the love alive.
I agree.
And it definitely has some applications in our personal lives as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow, I'm having a lot of fun in this episode, Marcos. Should we extend? No, but I was just about to say, Marcos. I hate to say this, but we have to do the MVP, the Marcos Viable Play. From our learnings today.
Yeah, I must say, it's time for Marcos Viable Play of our podcast session. Well, Bets has made it very easy for us. She has basically laid it out for us, right? If you are an entrepreneur or somebody who is in love or looking for love, you really have to look at developing your relationship with your employee and your relationship with the people you want to be with for the rest of your life using Bets's framework of commitment, engagement, and satisfaction, right? And commitment is all about knowing really who the right candidate for the company is and who the right person for you should be. It also is about trying to figure out how much you value this person. So that comes into play the compensation package that you want to provide them, the kind of expectations that you want to have on them, and also, and this also applies to love, right? I mean, if this is the right person for you, the commitment that you put into this relationship really involves what, how much you want to give to this person, how much you want this person to be part of your life, and how you can, both of you can actually be incentivized to love each other. And then there's engagements. Once you have the commitment, once you're in a relationship, whether it's work or love, then there's engagement. And really, I think it's all about being able to motivate your employee, to motivate your partner, do activities to them, make sure they're getting what they need, and just making sure that the process of going through this relationship will grow, not only in your career, but also in your personal lives, right? Because, you know, I think I'm at an age where I know love is not only all about the physical stuff, right?
That's right.
To actually motivate you from a spiritual and creative standpoint. It's in your mind as well.
Amen.
As well as your emotion. And finally, it's satisfaction, right? At satisfaction, you want to make sure that your partner or your employee is happy with what they're doing right now, and how their career is progressing. And as we know, people change, the economies change as well. So satisfaction is a moving target, and it has to be revisited occasionally. Certainly right now, during our period of isolation and quarantine, it really brings into focus what's important to us from our personal lives and also our career lives. I'm sure a lot of people out there are starting to think about how they want to change their career given what's happened recently.
Right.
Companies also are considering have this existential question about whether their old model of operation will still continue, right? And whether they're satisfied with how they're running the business. And so this is all coming into play, not only in business as in personal life. So really, I think Betts has made it easy for Mr. D, Marcus. Viable play is you have to, in managing your HR and your love life, you just have to go through the cycle of engagement. I'm sorry, of commitment, engagement, and satisfaction. And that is
brilliant.
Marcus's viable play of the day.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
That's, did I do your three element framework justice? I hope I did.
Yes, you did perfectly. Thank you.
Betts, okay. Do you have...
Great. I'm happy to please.
Maybe you can give one final advice to all our listeners right now. On how to deal with their relationship in business and love.
Right.
What is that, Marcus?
And if you're doing one more thing beyond the advice that you want to give to our listeners, if you're doing, I take it that you're also consulting right yeah. now, and if this is something that you want to share with our listeners, please do. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So, word of advice for everyone, when you handle people, handling people means handling personalities, which means that you are dealing with different types of characteristics, interests. So, in a corporate setting, it's always best to take into consideration not just what is the interest of the management team, but also what motivates people to stay and work and produce more in the workplace setting. So sometimes it's not the conventional training program. It may be something that is to most people a different item altogether, like creating a football team within an organization or an art class within the organization. So word of advice again is to make sure that these things are taken into consideration when planning to engage people to commit to your organization so that they can be satisfied while working for you and helping you grow the business. So If there are any questions, feel free to email me at bettina_chongbian@yahoo.com. So I'd be gladly available to send you my suggestions on HR-related items. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Bets, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a day.
Thanks,
what a
day. Yeah. Thanks, Marcus.
Yes, you're so welcome. And again, Max and I want to extend our heartfelt thank you for an appreciation for you for your participating in this episode of ours. And this is Marcus and
Magellan Petalino
signing off for Lovepreneur, where business and love meet.